we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your words. And Father, there's a lot of Christians hurting today, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would just give them grace, Lord, to deal with pain and whatever, however it may come, Lord, and whether it's through other people or through physical pains, Lord, and we're needy people, and we need your help to be able to get through these things. And Father, now we pray as we go through your words today that we would just have eyes and ears to hear your words and a heart to believe what it says. For Christ's sake we pray, amen. Okay, last week we saw that when the Pharisees and Herodians, they got together, it was to try and entangle Jesus in his words. And you know, there's something that I've seen throughout my life, and I've seen it more than once. And that is that a person needs to be cautious about what he does to others. As what he tries to do to others, especially a child of God, God always seems to it always seems to backfire on him. And it seems to backfire on him because when you do something to a child of God, God gets involved. And he usually does the same thing, the same exact thing to those that are doing to others. He usually does the same exact thing to those people who are trying to do something to others, okay? And God, he always gets involved. And he gets the perpetrator. And if you try to catch a child of God in his words, God's going to catch you in his words. If you try to if you try to scheme something on a child of God, God's going to scheme something, the same thing on you. And it's just it's a reaping; you reap what you sow. And if you hurt a child of God, God is going to hurt you. And if you see what these Pharisees and Herodians are doing, what does Jesus do? Jesus is God. They're trying to get his son. And what does he do? Turns it right back on him. Here are these leaders of Israel trying to stump Jesus in his words. And when it's all said and done, you'll see it at the end of chapter 22. When this is all said and done, these people are not going to have anything to say. They're not going to ask Jesus any more questions. Why? Because he's going to get them. He's going to get them in their words. And so, we also saw last week that what these Pharisees and what the Herodians are trying to do is they're trying to accuse Jesus of either being a breaker of man's law or a breaker of God's law. Okay, and so we know that, hey, Jesus, he's got this thing all figured out, right? He's the creator, so he's not going to break either of the laws. But we left off in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 22. The Bible says, so let's read a little bit here. We'll read in verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, and they sent out unto him their disciples with Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So since the Jew was under Caesar's control, they had to give to Caesar. Why? Because they were using his money. They were using his economic system to operate under, and it's right under that system for the king to tax when you're using his system. And there's nothing wrong with paying taxes under that system since God had put them under the system. And referring back to Deuteronomy 17, the Jew wasn't supposed to have any other king if they were in the will of God. But they're out of the will of God. They've gone whoring after other gods, and God has turned them over to their enemies. And so the Deuteronomy 17 passage would not apply here because they're not in the will of God. They're under a system that God had put them under. Okay, He gave them over to their enemies. And so when God turned them over to their enemies, this is what He's teaching. He's saying, hey, when you're under the authority that I put you under, you have to abide by their authority. And He taught that Jew that by just what he paid, that, hey, you can still obey man's laws and obey God. You can still give to God and give to man. You can obey man, what he says to give, but you need to obey God when it's time for your, when it's time for you to give to God. And so, and that should teach us something, and that is that a person or nation can be under two sets of laws. They can be under two sets of laws. Man's law and God's law. However, when you're called upon to disobey God's law, to obey man's law, that's when you have to draw the line. The Bible says men ought to obey God, we ought to obey God rather than men, right? And so when man's law is trying to get you to disobey God's law, but they're not doing, it's not doing that here, okay? You got to choose God's law. And that's found in Acts 5:29. What does Paul say? He says something there. Acts 5:29. Yeah, I think it says, and then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when man's law is getting you to try to disobey God's law, you're to obey God's law. You give man's law, go fly a kite, right? Take what's going to come to you, right? But paying your taxes isn't one of those that are breaking God's laws. God wants your heart. Your heart, you're His creation, right? He wants your heart. And so look at what He says to these Pharisees and Herodians. He says in verse 21, therefore, and He says, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. What does He command man? He says he wants his, their heart, He wants their soul, He wants their mind. They're His. He created them. All things were created for His pleasure. His. And so He's saying here to these guys, how are you doing with that one? Where's your love? You're supposed to give me your love. All of it. How are you doing with this one? And so He doesn't even have to say that, but it's implied here. And so Jesus rebukes these guys. He rebukes them with the law. He rebukes them with the law. They're bringing the law to them. He's rebuking them with the law. Okay? Verse 22, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left Him and went their way. They marveled. And watch what they do. They don't want the things of God. They don't want to do things God's way. And they don't want to do things Caesar's way. They just wanted to catch Jesus in His words. And so they want their own way. And that's why the kingdom of God will get taken from them. And that's why a majority of the people today go to hell. Because they want to do things their own way. And they want to go their own way. They don't want to go God's way. Verse 23, the same day came to Him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Okay? Now, it's the Sadducees' turn. They saw that Jesus stumped the Pharisees. And so here you have a group of people that say there is no resurrection. And by what they're going to say here, it looks like that they're basing their whole belief system that there's no resurrection on this thing that they fathomed up in their mind. Okay? They're more earthly, they're more materialistic people. And their doctrine is defined in Acts 23:8. Acts 23:8. The Bible says, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." And so, it appears that, I mean, okay, well, I'm not going to get into that, but Sadducees, a Sadducee, he's religious, but he really doesn't have anything to be religious about. He doesn't believe in a resurrection, he doesn't believe in spirit, and he doesn't believe in angels, okay? And so they're material, they're materialistic, they're earthly people. They have really no spiritual enlightening whatsoever. They have nothing. They're infidels when it comes to spiritual things. And they don't believe in the scriptures. And we're going to see that. They don't believe in the miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus is raising people from the dead. What do you mean you don't believe in a resurrection? Right? So they don't believe in the miracles that he's performing. Everything to these people is something that they can answer naturally or scientifically. And the Pharisees, on the other hand, they believe the Bible. It's just that they twist the Bible. They twist it so that they can justify themselves. The Sadducees, they don't believe in angels or resurrections or spirit. They're atheists. They're atheists. And the Bible says, look if you would in John 4. John 4:24. The Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So they don't believe in spirit. I mean, so really what they're saying is that they don't believe in God. And really, the only thing that a Sadducee believes in is his intellect, his education, his brain power, his intelligence. That's all he really believes in. Matthew 22, verse 24. They're saying, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Now, these guys, they think they're smarter than the Pharisees. They have more education than them. And so they think that they can trip Jesus up. So they give it a try. And so they don't believe, here's a bunch of people, they don't believe in the resurrection of God. They don't believe in God, and they don't believe in the scriptures, and yet they'll use the scripture to profit themselves whenever they can, whenever they can use it. If you use the scripture on a Sadducee, they'll tell you that those are man wrote those. But when he needs to use the scripture, right, it's okay for him. But when you use the scripture on him, it's just something man-made. You can't say that the scriptures are perfect because, but he does that to suit his needs. The end justifies the means with these guys. And that's a hypocrite. They don't believe anything, yet they make it seem like they believe everything. Right? A hypocrite. And so, and this is how they think. If believing the resurrection will get you what you want, then you believe it. If not believing the resurrection will get you what you want, then you don't believe it. That's hypocritical. Now, we can see that these guys, they know parts of the Bible when it comes to the law. And when they represent their question to Jesus, but what are they referring to here with their question? What they're referring to is about a resurrection that they don't believe in. Okay, and it's found in Deuteronomy. What the scripture they bring up, Deuteronomy 25:5. The Bible says, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. No man shall take the nether or uppermost. Okay, yeah. I think that's the one it's looking for. Which one? Oh, I'm in Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 25. If brethren... 25:5? Yeah. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. Okay. Yeah, so I mean that's what they're referring to. And they're bringing this up. And it looks like this is the reason why they don't believe in the resurrection, because, you got to mind you, they're thinking about physical things, so they don't have any spiritual intellect at all, okay, and so they're thinking in the resurrection, well, the people that didn't have any children, how are they going to have children and not break the law? Whose wife is this person's going to be? They all legally had her, right? And so legally, under the law, they could marry this woman. But later in the resurrection, now who does she become? You know, whose wife does she become? So they're thinking that, well, she can't be everybody's husband, or she'd be breaking the law. They would be breaking the law. So that's why they're throwing out this resurrection. That's the way it looks like, anyway, to me. It may not be that way. But verse 25, let's see what these guys are saying. Now, there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother, likewise the second also, and the third, unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they all had her. So, they're trying to stump Jesus with this question, and if he says this one, then they're going to say, well, it's not fair to this guy. He doesn't get to have any offspring in the resurrection. Okay, that's what's going on in their minds. They're thinking about how does this man's seed get preserved in the resurrection. Okay, and so verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And so here is the rebuke of Jesus to these Sadducees. Ye do err. And these guys must have thought they were really sharp to ask Jesus this question. I mean, they're basing their whole belief system on what they're thinking here. Okay? And this is just like people in 2 Timothy. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3:5. There's some people here. The Bible says there's going to be in perilous time for men shall be lovers of them own selves, verse 2, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth pressure, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. These guys are thinking about earthly things, right? Pleasurous things, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. And so, here these guys are. They have a form of godliness, They come to Jesus and they say, Master Moses said. They know a little bit about the law, right? They have a form of godliness. With the situation here, but yet they deny the fact that there are angels in the Scriptures. They believe the Scriptures about Master Moses, but they deny the fact that there's angels in the Scriptures. And not only that, but they deny that they're called the sons of God. Angels are called the sons of God in the Scriptures. And not only that, but they deny the fact that the sons of God had to leave, right? They had to leave their first estate. They had to leave heaven. Why? To marry. Marriage isn't allowed in heaven. They don't marry in heaven. And so for an angel to get married, an angel had to leave heaven. But they believe what Moses said about this wife and her husbands, but they don't believe what the Bible says about the angels. Because they don't even believe in angels. And so if angels were given in marriage in heaven, they wouldn't need to leave heaven. They wouldn't need to leave heaven to get married if they could get married in heaven. But they can't. It's not allowed there. And Jesus is going to say that here in a little bit. And so not only that, but they deny the fact that the Scriptures in the Old Testament reference that there is a resurrection. It's in Job. Job says it. Job 19. Job 19, verses 25. Now this book was, historically, it's written before Genesis, right? 19, verse 25. Here's Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And so there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. He's going to have to get resurrected to see God. And they're denying God's power. They're having a form of godliness when it comes to the law, but when God wants to tell them about the resurrection, they're denying God's power, that he's able to raise him up. Not only that, but Isaiah 26, there's another reference in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, 19. Bible says, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. There's a resurrection. And if that wasn't clear enough, there's another one in Daniel. There's another one in Daniel 12. Verse 2. Daniel 12, verse 2. The Bible says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's a resurrection there. Okay? They denied the power that God could raise somebody from the dead. And not only that, but they deny that there was even a God. They don't even believe in spirit. They don't even believe in spirit. And we read that in Acts. And so, not only that, but they denied the fact that the reason there is no need for a man and a woman to get married in heaven is because, just as Daniel said, some are going to be raised to everlasting life. The reason why there's procreation on this earth is because men die. There's death. And God wanted to repopulate the earth. But in heaven, there's not going to be a need to repopulate. Because nobody dies in heaven. Nobody dies in heaven. Those that get resurrected to life, nobody dies. And so some are going to live forever in contempt, and some are going to live forever with the Lord. Or die forever in contempt and live forever with the Lord. And so there's no need for marriage, because a person in a resurrection, whatever state he's in, exists forever. Okay? They exist forever. And an unsaved man is somebody that has denied the power of God. Okay? If you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe the gospel. The gospel has the resurrection there. Jesus rose from the dead. The third day, according to scriptures. And so if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not saved. Because Jesus rose from the dead. But the power of God salvation is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so, in order for you to believe the gospel, you got to believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, the same goes with a heretic. They deny the power of God. Every lie and every untrue statement that a person gives is because they have erred not knowing the scriptures. It's very simple. And that's how these Sadducees are. They've erred. And so the Pharisees has erred. But Jesus is speaking to the Sadducees here. And so Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection, the Bible says, okay, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, when you're reading this verse, if you leave it to speculation, then you can speculate anything you want out of that, okay? But if you take out the speculation, nowhere in the verse says that that those that are part of this resurrection in verse 30 are going to have bodies like men. Okay, nowhere in there. That's all speculative. There's nowhere in there that everybody's going to have bodies like men in heaven. Okay, just like the angels. There's nowhere in there that it says that. Now we know that when angels appear to people on this earth, they appear as men. Okay, we know that by the scriptures. You can go and look throughout the Old Testament. But is that what it's saying here? And so I don't think that it is. The context of this verse is really not male or female. It's marriage in heaven amongst those that are resurrected. And if that's so, then when Jesus brings these angels into this mix, okay, then the verse would have to mean that just as the angels don't marry angels in heaven, so resurrected men don't marry resurrected women in heaven. Okay, it's just when you look at the verse, he tells you what he's talking about there. And so when you start taking this as, and you start adding, you can add whatever you want in there. But I mean, if you keep it in the context, it looks to me like he's just saying, hey, angels don't marry, and neither do resurrected people. Okay? And so, here it looks like Jesus is referring to both resurrections. However, when you read in verse 30, it looks like he's referring to both resurrections there. But when you read Luke and the Mark passage, it seems like he's just talking about the resurrection from the dead there. Okay? And then the next verse touches on the resurrection of the dead. Okay? And there's a difference. And so, But regardless of whether he's talking about both resurrection, verse 30, nobody that's resurrected, whether they go into contempt or they go into heaven, are going to marry. Okay? It's just not going to happen. Verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's the God of the living. And so, of the dead here, singles out those that are of the resurrection of the dead, and says that, that God's not there. He's not the resurrection of the, he's not the God of those people, the dead people. Okay? Those that have made God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, their God, will get everlasting life. And those that didn't make the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob their God, they get everlasting contempt, and they are considered dead. And God's not their God. He wasn't their God when they were alive. They never placed trust in the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And so he's not going to be their God when they're dead. And so, but these guys here, they didn't even believe in the first resurrection. And now Jesus is bringing up a second resurrection. Isn't that something? He's saying, you are Aaron here. You don't even know about the first one. And now I'm going to bring the second one in here. It's really going to mess these guys up. And so, here's this resurrection of the dead. The multitude, they're going to marvel at this, and you'll see, and they're going to be astonished. They're going to be astonished. Why? Because they weren't even being taught about the first resurrection. And Jesus is now saying there's two. There's two. And so they're astonished at Jesus' doctrine, because the Sadducees weren't teaching the people this. They weren't teaching the people this. And when Jesus quotes this about God being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's when God was speaking to Moses. Okay? That's after Abraham was dead. That's after Isaac was dead. That's after Jacob was dead. And Moses is being spoken to by God, and God saying, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Moses, they're dead. And so God is saying, no, they're alive. They're alive. When God said this, they were alive. And so here these guys are. God is the God of the living. And that means that even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were physically dead, they're alive spiritually with the Lord. They're alive spiritually with them. And they're getting a resurrection from the dead. There were those in Jesus' days that they didn't know the scriptures about the resurrection. And there were those in Paul's day that they didn't know about the resurrection. They didn't believe in one. 1 Corinthians 15:12. Even after the 500 witnesses saw Jesus raised from the dead, they didn't believe. And if you've witnessed for any amount of time on this earth today, you're going to find that there are those people out there that don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they don't believe in a resurrection period. They think when you die, that's it. You're done. And so, one thing's for certain. Jesus is talking about two different resurrections here, okay? And if you study the scriptures, you'll find that there's a resurrection from the dead, and there's a resurrection of the dead. And if you're part of the resurrection of the dead, you better hope you're part of the just. And that's found in Acts 24:15. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust at the resurrection of the dead. And if you have a mind, and you can read, and you can understand things, you're not going to be part of the just that gets raised. If you don't trust Jesus today, you know, trust in Him during this age. And so we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your words. And we thank You for You gave us Your words to believe in, Lord. And I don't understand how these Sadducees can can believe one thing about what Moses said and not believe everything else in the Scripture about the resurrection and about the angels and about God. And it's just amazing how people just don't have any belief, and they deny your power, and we pray that we wouldn't do that. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.